people as my wife and I are these days. So let me give you just a little bit of background that'll help you to interact with me as a person, a teacher, and with the things that we'll be talking about. I grew up, it was Depression years. My father was a plasterer. We were a very poor family, I guess. I frankly don't remember feeling poor, but I'm sure we were. I felt poor at the point that I didn't have a ball glove and didn't have a bicycle and things that other kids had, and I often felt very inferior and grew up with a lot of inferiority feelings. That is sort of related to the whole problem. When I graduated high school, Uncle Sam invited me to summer camp. It wasn't the kind of camp I wanted to go to, but he didn't give me an option, so I found myself in the Second World War. Served over in Europe, Northern Europe, in an infantry regiment. Fortunately, about a month before we left for overseas, an opening occurred in the chaplain's office for an assistant, so I served as a chaplain's assistant during the time in the combat area in Northern Europe. I know I don't look old enough to have been in the Second World War, but I was. Came back and went to college. I won't go into details on that. I married a lady I met at college the week after we graduated, or I graduated. She had graduated a year earlier, and she hadn't been in the Army. And a year later, I stood by her bedside and watched her die, and was early called on to go through a death experience. That was during the summer between my first and second year in seminary. I went back and finished seminary, was invited to teach at Fort Wayne Bible College after I graduated. I went there, taught for a year, resigned to go to Africa, and deciding not to plead being single as a reason for not going. And I'm not sure, you know, a lot of people weren't sure why I was still single, but anyhow, I was at that point. But in August of that summer, the dean of students at the Bible College was killed by a stroke of lightning, and in the funeral procession, the president of the church and the president of the college and I talked, and we agreed that I would not go to Africa on schedule, but would stay and take his position for the next year and postpone my going for a year. To make a longer story short, and I could tell you, get on a lot of diversions here, because the students at the Bible College had been having a ball trying to get this eligible dean of students married. I was dean of men the first year, and I tell you a lot of stories about that, but I won't venture into that area. But at any rate, at the end of that second year, I married the widow of the man who was killed by a stroke of lightning, and the next March we went to Africa together. We served in Sierra Leone for a little over 3 years, came back in 1959, and I was invited to teach missions to Bible College. I began doing that, and they were supposed to find a new teacher during my furlough year, and the long story is that I've been on furlough ever since teaching. I began shortly after that to read in this area of spiritual warfare. It was a almost totally new area for me. I simply had not had any formal instruction on it, and had not read anything about it, really, up to that point. The first book I read was Kurt Koch's book, Between Christ and Satan, and it simply got me interested in the subject, and as I read more, I began to talk more about it, and began to incorporate it in my teaching, because I became convinced that this was a dimension to missionary ministry that I had completely missed, and that I thought all of my colleagues had almost completely missed. I simply had no perspectives on what I was really seeing when I was in Sierra Leone, even though I was living in an animistic village. We were in a tribal situation, and everything around us was tribal. The time comes on this subject when you have to put up or shut up. It's one thing to talk the theology of demons and power. It's another thing to go head-to-head with them. That occurred in the form of the psychology teacher from our college coming to me one day and saying, "Would you be willing to see one of my clients? She is manifesting some symptoms that simply are not yielding to therapy." And this lady was one of the finest counselors I have ever known, bar none. She was just really tops in her field. But she said, "There's something going on here that's beyond what I know about, and I have reason to believe it might be demonic. Would you check it out?" Well, we had never done it before. We had never seen it done before. We knew only what we had theorized about. But as I say, the time comes when you have to step out in faith sometimes and simply do it. So we agreed to meet with this young lady. And when I say we, and I'll say that many times, I'm talking about my wife and I, because we always work as a ministry team. Very seldom do we work individually. Not that you can't do it alone, but there are great advantages to having a team approach, and we'll talk more about that later in the course. But we met with this young lady, and to, again, make a longer story short, and we'll come back to some of the details at another time, a demon spoke through her to us, saying, "I'm strong, you can't get me," this little diminutive gal, maybe 18, 19 years old, and the demon speaking out of her. We encountered many demons in her related to a number of things that had happened in her life, not the least of which was the occult involvement of her mother and grandmother. Well, that got us started. The Lord was gracious to us and didn't bring a lot of that to us while we were at Fort Wayne, because by that time I'd become president of the college, and college presidents don't have much time to do deliverance ministry. It's a very time-consuming thing very often. But when we came to Deerfield, a similar thing happened, and a therapist in our church here in Deerfield learned of our knowledge in this area and asked if we would see a couple of her clients. The first person we met with was a young lady who, when she got ready to go to college, prayed to God and asked him to give her enough money to go through college, and if he did, she would give him her life. Well, you don't bargain for salvation like that, where God has to take the first step by providing money. So she didn't think God was answering fast enough, so she went out into a cemetery and prayed that same prayer to Satan, and literally promised her life to Satan if he would give her the money to get through college. Well, she got through college, she got her teacher's license, she was directing a school in a church, and Satan was saying, "Okay, it's my turn to claim my end of your bargain." And in desperation, she went to this Christian counselor who was able to lead her to Christ. She had made a basic commitment to receive Christ, but she had this vow that she didn't know how to break. That was relatively simple to deal with. You simply tell the demons enforcing it to go to the cross, that you've transferred all obligations that you had to him, to Christ, and that they make their claim at the cross. The young lady, unfortunately, had other occult connections that had to be dealt with later, but she came through that quite well. The second person who came, she asked us to see, however, was a much more complicated case, who we now understand was a victim of satanic ritual abuse. We didn't understand that at the time. We didn't know, hadn't even heard that term, let alone
knowing very much about it. We did know that she had been abused in such incredible ways that they would boggle your mind. You just could hardly imagine one person being subjected to the kinds of things that this lady had been through, and she had the scars in her body to prove it. It wasn't some fantasy that she was dreaming up. Well, in our very first session with that lady, and again, we were really novices at this point. We had had no mentor, never had a class. We'd listened to some tapes and read some books. From there on, it was saying, God, you're going to have to see us through this. And we, again, encountered a demon in her, which, when cast out, solved one of the problems that the psychologists, psychiatrists had not been able to touch with their therapy. She'd been in the best Christian therapy in the North Shore area that was available at the time, by my judgment. The church-level counselor, the psychotherapist, the PhD in clinical psychology, and a psychiatrist, all evangelicals, or at least members of evangelical churches. Psychiatrist was unable to even make a diagnosis of her case at the time. I think today he probably could, because the psychiatric literature on the subject has changed rather dramatically just in these relatively few years. This was 1982 that we're talking about now. And at any rate, when this change took place in this woman, the psychologist who was present said, "You don't know what this is doing to my psychology." It literally shook her up so much that she dropped out of her PhD program and has never finished it. Now, I'm not here to feud with psychology. We will talk about that in some detail a little further along, but it was just that there is a whole dimension of life that, by and large, we have all tried to ignore. We have hoped that by ignoring the devil, he would go away, and he doesn't. We may call him by a different name. We may use different explanation systems for him and for his henchmen, but they are still very real, and we have to deal with them. That's the way I got where we are today, and today we are involved in working with people who are victims of satanic ritual abuse. Hopefully before the end of the course, one of them will come and talk to you about their experience. This is a dimension of the subject which is at the extreme, and which I hope that most of you never encounter, and we're not going to be specializing on it by any means, but it is a phenomenon that is really rocking the counseling world today. There is a whole society that's been formed here in Chicago called the Society for Dissociative States and Multiple Personality, or Multiple Personality and Dissociation, I think it's called, and that society now is giving very specific attention to this whole phenomenon of satanic ritual abuse and multiple personality. Multiple personality in psychiatric literature generally had a statement that said, this is a recognized phenomenon, but it's very unlikely that you will ever see it, even a psychiatrist. And I have a brother who is a psychiatrist, and he would verify that he had never seen a case of true multiple personality. Now, we're not talking about schizophrenia, where you have two strains of personality in the same individual, but where people actually split and you have such distinct personalities that they even have different allergies and different diseases and so on. If I could tell you what happened last night, I could illustrate that. Well, I can tell you that last night, in the middle of the night, a multiple personality in one of these ladies was going through an integration process with another personality, whereas the host person had had such a headache that was on the verge of a migraine headache all day, but the multiple personality didn't have a headache. That's one of the most amazing phenomena in life, this business of multiple personality. We'll talk more about that later. I simply say that the Lord has brought us to this point where we've had to really jump in the deep end, as it were, and just trust Him to guide us through this area. Fortunately, there is a growing volume of literature on the subject, so you don't have to do as much trial and error as you used to, but it still is where it is. Well, that's how where I come from and how I got where I am in a brief word. I wish we had time to go around the room and have all of you introduce yourselves. I'm afraid if we did that, it would take all of our time today and next time, but I would be interested to know if maybe you would jot down on a piece of paper your name and any background that you have had in the area of spiritual warfare. If you have had any ministry experience, if you've had any personal experiences that maybe are isolated experiences, but something that would give you some perspective on it, it would help me. I would also be interested to know if you have cross-cultural experience, if you have been outside the United States, or if you have ministered in a culture that is distinctly different than our typical Western Caucasian culture. And that would include, in many cases, inner-city culture, because you don't have to go very far from the campus to find yourself in a quite different cultural setting. So if you would do that for me, that would be very helpful. Well, let me pass out the assignment sheets, and we'll get some perspectives on the course. Let's see. Wait, I didn't put these in big enough stacks, but we'll try this. If you're a doctoral student, oh, wait a minute, I think that top stack were all doctoral assignments, are they? No? If you find any that say DMS 733, they're doctoral instead of master's, and I have special assignments for you. Looks like the class has grown a bit since pre-registration. Do any of you have... I'm afraid we're going to have to print more of these. Oh, here's our doctoral. Okay, if you're a doctoral student, I have a special assignment sheet for you. There are a few more on the master's level. You're a EDD 3-hour. So yours won't. This is for DMIS students. Same way. Did it say DMS? Yeah. This is the doctoral one I'm passing out here. Oh, you need 4 master's level? Okay. I'm afraid we've run out of master's level. We'll have to print a few more. Okay, let's read through the course objectives and the assignments together to make sure we understand what we're about. The first objective, to explore the biblical concepts of spiritual power as they relate to God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and angels, also to Satan and demons. I suppose we should add to that the concepts of power as they apply to us as believers. Second, to understand the impact of worldviews, which include the presence or absence of such concepts of power. That is perhaps one of the key elements in the course, and if we can get our worldview straightened out, a lot of other things will almost take care of themselves. Third, to identify and learn to cope with warfare between these powers as it affects the personal life of the Christian. The assumption here is that we're all involved in spiritual warfare, that that simply isn't an option. We therefore need to understand the dimensions of the warfare and how to deal with it. To not understand the warfare is to give the enemy a tremendous strategic advantage. To have the enemy know about you and you not know about the enemy simply doesn't make sense from a military standpoint. That's where we have been all too often, I'm afraid, as a church. Four, to acquire basic knowledge of how to minister to persons with problems related to demonic activity. That will be done only in an introductory way. There is not time to cover everything and have a class on what would be called deliverance counseling, but we will deal with some of the fundamental issues that relate to that kind of counseling. And finally, to identify and learn to cope with the places in ministry where the encounter between Christ's power or authority and demonic power is involved. That is to say, this will not simply be in a counseling situation sometimes, but it will be over the whole dimension of society, the particular society that is the church, tribal situations, kinds of encounters that may occur in public ministry, things that most of us have never encountered but are nevertheless a possibility. It seems that there's hardly a day goes by anymore that I don't get a phone call from somewhere from a pastor asking about this or that kind of activity. That not quite every day, but I do get a lot of calls anymore. So there are lots of things that happen in the context of ministry that we need to understand. Let me just say that I don't have an outline of the course here to give you, and I'm hoping that before we finish, or before we get very far, I may have something of that nature to give you. But the basic plan will be to look first at some concepts of a philosophy of balance on which I try to work, then to look at this worldview problem. On the basis of the worldview, to develop a Christian or biblical perspective on worldview, to apply that to our personal lives, our relationship with Christ, our relationship to the demonic world, and we'll explore the whole problem of what demons can do to Christians or to non-Christians, how that impacts ministry as well as our personal lives. We'll then look specifically at the area of power encounter in the context of ministry, first as it applies to our being under attack by demonic powers, and then as we take the offensive against them in evangelistic church planting kinds of ministries where we are, in a sense, claiming back the territory for God that Satan has claimed as the usurper God of the world. So we go on the initiative against the enemy in ministry. So we'll look at it from the personal level of are being under attack and the ministry level of are attacking them. Then we will drop back and look at some of the specific elements in the counseling situation. The kinds of things that involve what we call ground that need to be dealt with, as a basis for any deliverance that might be done. And then we'll look at specifically the relationship between psychology and demons. Hopefully that will give us an overview of this subject and prepare you at least for future reading and study on the subject. I've assigned two books. One is a sort of pastoral manual approach to deliverance and this whole spiritual warfare area. It's probably the most widely read book on the subject by Mark Bubeck. He's a Baptist pastor in Sioux City, Iowa, who, as of, I think, maybe this month, has resigned from his church to give full time to a counseling ministry in a counseling center he has established there in Sioux City called the International Center for Biblical Counseling. It has as its purpose to integrate the best in counseling technology or counseling expertise and spiritual warfare. And they have well-qualified men giving leadership to that ministry. So Mark Bubeck, book The Adversary, and a second book, Merrill Unger's Demons of the World Today. This is an old book, as books on this subject go, 1976, and it will not have some of the most up-to-date information about Satanism and things like that in it, but it is a basic textbook approach to the whole world of the occult. And I use it because it is sort of a basic source that you will see referred to again and again in the literature. It does kind of survey the field. It is much more of an academic, well, it is an academic approach. Unger himself had very little, if any, experience in dealing with demonized people. He will use secondhand illustrations almost entirely, but he does bring a certain level of scholarship to his work. Former professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. Okay, the requirements then will be to read these two textbooks as early in the quarter as possible for general background. We will not follow the textbooks in terms of order of discussion. They will simply provide background for the rest of what we do. Then read at least 500 additional pages from other sources of your choice from the bibliography or from sources that you know about that aren't on the bibliography that you would like to read, but please check with me before you do that. I'll give you the bibliography in just a moment. Then write a critique evaluation of the sources you have read, including the required texts. Treat the texts as you would treat any other reading and write a critique of them. Identify points of particular significance to you and those that present problems to you. Include some evaluation of each book or article you read. This paper should reflect your grasp of the concepts discussed in class. It is to be submitted in two installments. The first will be due on May 3 and should include all reading done up to that point. The second installment will be due June 7 and should include all reading not included in the first report. I am not interested in the content of the books. I pretty well know what's in the books, and I will assume that you do after you've read it. I would like for you to interact with the material. Tell me what's good about it and what's not good about it. None of this material is beyond some kind of critique. Now, I realize that some of you will feel a little inadequate to critique Bubeck, for example, and say there's anything wrong with him. Some of you will just find it such a refreshing thing that you want to write all positively, and I understand that. But I want you to give me your feelings about it, and particularly things of a biblical and theological nature. Keep your theological perspectives in gear as you read, and make sure that you are asking the difficult questions as you go along. I will be more impressed if you have something of a negative nature to at least ask about the books than if you simply give them all a rave notice. Now, hopefully there are a lot of good books that you will read, but think critically. That's the important point. And that's important because your reading reports are the basis for your grade in the class, partly to, for a variety of reasons. There will not be a final exam. The grade will be determined by these two reading reports. Any questions? Yes. When is the date for senior grades? Middle of May? May 29th. Well, I need it by May 29th. Okay. Oh, that doesn't say that, does it? It should be, with a size class, you know, I'm not interested in having you all write 20, 30 page papers. I've normally said about 8 pages, about 2,000 words for the whole reading report. So that would be approximately 4 pages in each installment. Now, some of you are going to be frustrated trying to put your comments in 4 pages. I understand that. And that's particularly true of doctoral students, but there, of course, I expect the level of interaction to be significantly different, basically 4 pages an installment as a minimum, okay? Any other questions? Okay, the doctoral students, I think your assignments are clear, and I won't take time of the whole class to talk about them. You have the additional project to do, and I'll be glad to talk to you individually about that. Oh, I have to turn grades in that day? Yeah, if I have to turn grades in, I'll have to have them a couple days ahead of that. So I don't have my date book with me. What day of the week is 29th? It's a Tuesday. Well, make it the previous Thursday then, that class period. I'll try and clarify that and give you something in writing on it. Well, let me give you bibliographies. I realize that a long bibliography like this can be confusing. I think I'm going to take time to run through it and comment briefly on the items on it, partly as a sort of an overview of the literature on the subject that is available, and partly to give you some idea of what you may want to look up for your further reading. So I'll just run quickly through the items on the bibliography. Alexander is a scholarly study of the subject from a biblical point of view. He is somewhat more liberal than I would be on the subject, to say the least, but he does have some very helpful material if you want to look at it biblically. Attack from the Spirit World is a compilation of illustrations of missionary experiences from around the world without any pulling together in terms of teaching. Barnhouse is his sermonizing on this subject in his inimitable way. It's very helpful stuff. Barnhouse was pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia for many, many years, radio Bible teacher, and he doesn't get into what would be called deliverance, but in terms of spiritual warfare in general, very helpful. Don Basham's book is a biography of his pilgrimage from a non-involvement disbelief in the subject to being a charismatic deliverance counselor. He would be considered one of the, he was involved for a while in the shepherding movement, has, I think, disassociated himself entirely from that, and his book is quite frequently quoted. Joe Bailey, most of you know the name from other connections, written this brief book on horoscopes. Paul Bilheimer's books, and he has several others, but Destined for the Throne is particularly on the subject of prayer and is a life-changing book if you take it seriously. Forward is written by Billy Graham. E.M. Bounds is a classical writer, particularly on the subject of prayer. The publication dates do not indicate when those books were written. Donald Bridge is basically an answer to the Wimber Vineyard emphasis without naming them. Bubeck's second book, Overcoming the Adversary, is an extremely helpful treatment, particularly of Ephesians 6 and the armor. It is a logical follow-up from his first book. Roger Buford is a professor of psychology and counseling at Western Conservative Baptist Seminary, I believe, and this is one of the first serious attempts to relate these two areas. Jay Cathy writes for young people, and this is a book basically for teenagers, though a lot of adults would find a lot of profit in it. He takes some of the key areas of the flesh that provide the basis for demonic activity being built on that, and writes in a manner that is characterized by a section in each chapter entitled Thumping the Devil's Rump. Gives you an idea of his language. Lewis Berry Schaefer is a theologian from Dallas Seminary, has a theological study of Satan. John Dawson's book is a new one. Dawson is, I believe, the general director of Youth with a Mission. And you notice that the subtitle is How to Break Spiritual Strongholds, and particularly strongholds in communities. A very provocative book on the subject of warfare praying. I highly recommend it to at least turn your wheels in some new directions. Demon Experiences in Many Lands is another compilation of missionary experiences. De Villiers is a symposium of articles from South Africa representing the whole spectrum from very liberal to very conservative views on this subject. Fred Dickinson is professor of theology at Moody Bible Institute. His two books are standard texts on the subject. His second book, Demon Possession of the Christian. I thought we had changed this. Please make a note that it's now published by Tyndall Press in Wheaton rather than by Moody. Indication of some of the problems of this area indicated here that the book presented enough problems to some of the supporters of Moody that Moody Press withdrew it from publication and it was transferred to Tyndall Press. Robert Doyle, again a response to Wimber from Australia. Wesley Duell, if you've not read Duell, it's also must reading on the subject of prayer. Grayson Ensign and Edward Howe are Church of God, Church of Christ men, one minister, pastor, one layman, and it is one of the better treatments of the subject. Kurt Koch said when he read it that it was the best thing in English on the subject. It unfortunately is privately published and is not readily available in bookstores, so I've given you the address if you care to write for it. He covers the whole counseling approach about as thoroughly as almost anyone. And again, depending on whether you want a confrontational approach or not, he does take a confrontational approach. Theodore Epp, teacher on Back to the Bible, a couple of small booklets on the subject. Everett Ferguson, these are lectures on church history, and again would be a scholarly look at early church history. Psychic Healers of the Philippines, as a investigation into that phenomenon. The Devil's Disciples, Truth About Rock, is a somewhat extreme, extremely critical view on it, but we'll give you a lot of basics on that. S.D. Gordon, highly recommended book on prayer. It's an old book, again, republished. The title is very misleading. It may be quiet talks, but he is powerful stuff, and I will quote him a number of times as we go along. Billy Graham's book on angels gives you a good bit on the positive side of angelic ministry, as over against too much talk about demons. Michael Green is a charismatic Anglican who teaches at Regent College in British Columbia. His book will come at the deliverance concept from an Anglican more of a ritual approach, but he has a lot of very helpful things to say. Doug Gruthius, a basic book on the New Age, and there's a big volume of literature on the New Age. This is simply one book to introduce you to it. William Gurnall is a classical Puritan writer from England. This is the only thing he's written. He pastored one church, I think, almost all his life, but it's a classic. And it has fortunately now been republished in three volumes. I have only volume one listed on the bibliography. The other two volumes are now out, put into modern English. But he has a real way with words. If you like to read stimulating stuff and of a classical nature, read Gurnall. Michael Harper, a British charismatic, writing on the subject of spiritual warfare. Rodney Henry, this is required reading for the doctoral students. Any of you who are going to be missionaries ought to read Henry. It says Filipino spirit world, but he deals with the whole issue of worldview and the whole relationship of the church to the spirit world. I used it as a textbook in South Africa a couple of years ago, and they said, just scratch out Filipino and put African in there. It fits. So it would be required reading of anybody going overseas. Karen Hoyt is an editor at Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and this is a symposium from various authors on New Age. Donald Jacobs is a Mennonite. This is a small booklet that he has written. Jacobs has done a lot of pioneering work in East Africa. He is an anthropologist by training, but he wrote what was probably the first contextualized theology for Africa with power as a primary component of the theology. That's not what this is. That was never published officially. I have a mimeograph copy of it, but it's not in print. Jerry Johnston is a study of the rise of Satanism. He has a chapter in it on multiple personality and what the Satanists do with multiple personality. A very helpful introduction to a very bad subject. James Callis has written this series of books on this subject. And they are very provocative, stimulating studies. Kurt Koch, a German counselor, died a couple of years ago. You'll hear a lot of stories about Koch, including that he himself went crazy and died that way, and that's not true. It is true that he divorced his wife and married his secretary. I don't justify that, but Koch was himself a very abrasive individual. But his writings, nevertheless, contain a great deal of very helpful material. His book, Christian Counseling and Occultism, was his doctoral dissertation. It's a very technical study and would be especially appropriate for anyone in the area of counseling psychology. Charles Kraft, a professor at Fuller Seminary, pretty much into the Wimber Vineyard line of thinking, but his book, Christianity with Power, is a very helpful study on worldview. You won't agree with everything that he has to say, but he will stimulate you in this area. Emil Kramer is a book written originally, I think, in French, been translated into a half a dozen European languages. Perhaps a little extreme in some of his views, but it's listed because it is one of the things that is available in a variety of European languages. Ladd's book is the basis of a lot of the contemporary thinking on the subject of power encounter and spiritual warfare. Lloyd-Jones, a British pastor, two books with extensive treatments of the Ephesians 6 passage. You'll find them to be, again, very stimulating, though not to the point of power encounter, as we'll be talking about it. Hope McDonald is a pastor's wife who began asking people if they'd ever had an experience with angels and was amazed at how many people told her things, so she began collecting their stories, and this is a compilation of some of those stories. John McMillan's Christian Missionary Alliance, missionary and theologian. His book, The Authority of the Believer, would be an especially recommended book. It's just a booklet. It's a compilation of articles that he wrote, primarily when he was the editor of the paper, the Alliance Witness, of the Christian Missionary Alliance. This one is marginally related to the subject, McDonald, but it is a historical and biblical analysis of the modern faith movement, or the name it and claim it theology, and particularly Kenneth Hagin. Josh McDowell, Campus Crusade man, writing on understanding the occult, and with Don Stewart on demons, witches, and the occult. McElharen is a little booklet published by some missionaries up in Canada who detail their own pilgrimage into this area, and it's interesting to read of other people's experience. It's a helpful introduction to the subject. W.L. McLeod is a leader of what is known as the Western Canada Revival Movement, and he deals particularly with Christians who have dabbled with the occult, who have played with occult practices on the side, and the consequences of that. Francis Manuel is the intriguing story of a lady who adopted a girl off the streets who had polio, had floppy ankles and a deformed face, and had been on drugs and just about as bad as you can get, and turned out also to be highly demonized. And through a process of a year or so, this gal was completely healed, both physically and spiritually, and is today married and raising family. Tex Mar's book is one of the, I suppose you'd call, right-wing approaches to the New Age. Malachi Martin is a liturgical approach to spiritual warfare. I have a lot of problems with some of his liturgical things, but it is the primary point of reference for M. Scott Peck. Many of you have heard of Scott Peck's book, People of the Lie, and he quotes Malachi Martin more than any other source on this subject. That's part of his problem, too, that I think he didn't have good theology on the subject. Arthur Matthew, Overseas Missionary Fellowship leader, writes devotionally on the subject. Joanna Michelson is the story of her own pilgrimage through mind control, spirit guides, and being an assistant to a psychic surgeon in Mexico. Like Lambs to the Slaughter is a study of child abuse. One of the horrendous, horrendous things that's happening in our society. C. Leslie Miller, the pastor who has written a book on angels, again, will give you hopefully the positive side of angels as well as something of the demonic side. John Warwick Montgomery's the first book he is the editor of, and this is a symposium conducted at Notre Dame University in 1975 and represents a very broad cross-section of views on the whole subject. Theological, anthropological, sociological, psychological. Gary Collins has a chapter in the book, a number of, a very broad spectrum. The second book is vintage John Warwick Montgomery, very erudite study of the subject of principalities and powers. John Nevius was a pioneer missionary in China, and again, this is his own pilgrimage from disbelief to belief in the subject of demons. John Newport is a Southern Baptist, one of the early introductions to the subject. Gary North is a right-wing kind of writer, but you will find a lot of very fascinating material in his book on Holy Spirits. Osterreich is a non-Christian source, but is one of the most widely quoted books on the subject of possession as it occurs in a variety of cultures around the world. M. Scott Peck is a psychiatrist who tells of his pilgrimage from skepticism to belief on the subject of demons, and a fascinating study of the nature of evil in itself. The book itself is a study of evil, and a part of it is the issue of demons. Don't use Peck as your theology book, however. Jesse Penn Lewis is a classical writer on the subject out of the Welsh Revival period. The book which is most representative of that period is War on the Saints. Again, a frequently quoted source. It's difficult reading in the sense that it's quite repetitious and the style of writing is quite labored, but it is a classic. Dwight Pentecost, a Dallas theologian writing again on the theology of Satan. Frank Peretti's books, I assume you know. How many of you have read This Present Darkness? Okay. That represents a major change from a couple of years ago in terms of what you've been exposed to on the subject. So that's very interesting. Peretti, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a son of an Assemblies of God minister who kind of kicked around at a variety of things, including being part of a Christian musical touring group for a while, and he quit that and took a secular job, all the while writing this book. Sent it to 14 publishers before anybody would publish it, and now we all know about Peretti, but a fascinating study. We'll have occasion, I'm sure, to talk about it as we go along. Robert Peterson is a pilgrimage of a OMF missionary on this subject. Again, fascinating reading for anyone particularly in missionary cross-cultural service. His field of service was Indonesia. McCandless Phillips, What Every Christian Should Know About the Supernatural is basically what the title says, an introduction to this subject. Kent Philpott, frequently quoted manual on spiritual warfare. David Porter, again, the whole area of children and toys, fantasy games, etc. Winky Prattney, Devil Take the Youngest, History of Child Abuse from Ancient Religions, where they offered child sacrifice, down to our present day. Nelson Price has a new book just out, which links the occult, the New Age. Ernest Rockstad was a Baptist man in Kansas who spent most of his life specializing in spiritual warfare, and his materials are still available. J. Oswald Sanders, another OMF man, writing devotionally, I think, on the subject. Heinrich Schleier is a German Catholic, but he writes like an evangelical, and has a very helpful, stimulating book on principalities and powers if you want something of a scholarly nature. David Siemens, Healing of Memories, should be IES. We just put that on and did it in too big a hurry, I guess. He has another book called Healing for Damaged Emotions, and these become especially helpful in dealing with people who have abuse in their background. And we've seen a great deal of this kind of healing take place. Marguerite Schuster, fascinating book. If you are, again, in the area of counseling psychology, this is a very unique attempt to blend the two areas together. And it was, I believe it was her doctoral paper originally, but a very well-written, well-researched, stimulating book. Kevin Springer is an associate of John Wimber. And this is a series of studies of people basically in the Vineyard movement and their spiritual encounters. Vivian Stacy is an Anglican missionary in Pakistan. And this book was originally written in the Urdu language. So if you are interested in the Middle East or in Muslim ministries, this would have some particular relationship to that. Philip Stein is a professor at Columbia Biblical Seminary, and this is a long-awaited book on animism, primal religions, from a power approach. The initial printing of this book was very poorly edited. I have to say, don't use this book as a style manual. But I was asked to review it for a journal, and I have never read a book that had so many glaring style errors in it as this book does. But it has good, useful material in it, so it is a recommended book. Lauren Stratford's book, Satan's Underground, has been withdrawn from publication by Harvest House because a study done by the Pacentino, is that their names? Gretchen and someone else claims that most of the things recounted in the book didn't really happen. Not that they don't happen or that things like them don't happen, but the claim is that she read about these things and internalized them to the point that she simply made them her own experience. It still is, there still is some question about that, because I have talked to other people who are quite close to the situation personally and claim that that's not true. But, in any case, it's a very questionable book, and you may have seen the exposé supposedly of it, which I felt was done in a manner that they were criticizing the other. They were criticizing, but their exposé was done in the same overly drawn manner. Let me just say that I'm not sure that a book like Satan's Underground should ever have been written. The same would be true of Prepare for War and what's the other one by? Well, I think I have already taken that one off my bibliography, but the Yeah, who's the author? He came to set the captives free. Oh dear. Well, that book is also under severe attack. The author claims to, well, is a medical doctor. She went through med school. There's no question about that. Received her MD. Eventually left medicine, but the book indicates that it was because of her involvement with helping people coming out of Satanism. Investigation indicates that it was because she was misusing drugs and had her license revoked. So there's some very, very serious questions about that. Rebecca Brown, thank you, Rebecca Brown. And I used to have that book on the bibliography, but because of the recent reports that I've read, I've taken both of those books off the bibliography. Again, it's not because things like that don't happen, but simply because in this case they probably didn't happen, at least not the way they're recounted in that book. Stromer, again, a basic study of horoscopes, zodiac. Willard Swartley's book is a compilation of essays on this subject done at a consultation at the Mennonite Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana. The distinct thing about this book is that I have one of the essays in it. Stephen Swihart, another basic study of angels. Swihart would be charismatic. Charles Swindoll, you know that name, a basic study. Some of his messages on the subject. Corey Ten Boom, a little booklet which makes a excellent brief introduction to someone who has never read anything about this before. Alan Tippett is on the list basically because he probably coined the term power encounter. He doesn't really deal with it as a subject as we're dealing with it here, but his books are basic sources of missionary concepts, power encounter. Merrill Unger's books, Biblical Demonology, is just what it says, a basically biblical study, a scholarly study of the subject. In it, he takes a position a Christian could not be demonized. In the second book, he changes that position. And in the third book, it's all about what demons can do to saints. Don Williams is a new book, Signs and Wonders in the Kingdom of God. Again, a mildly charismatic approach to the subject. Walter Wink has a trilogy of books. I've only listed one of them. He comes out, again, at a very liberal position on the subject. But if you get to the point where you're studying this at a more scholarly level, you would want to read Wink's book. David Watson, a devotional approach to spiritual warfare. Weldon Bjornstad, book on Dungeons and Dragons and fantasy games. John Wimber's two books, Power Evangelism and Power Healing. Okay, I'll not talk about the articles. I think they're reasonably self-explanatory. I would say a word about the audio tapes. Neil Anderson is the chairman of the pastoral theology department at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. He takes what would be called a non-confrontational approach to deliverance and has some excellent material. This material will all be in book form probably yet this spring. They're not off the press yet as far as I know, but he has two books with two different publishers that could both be off the press sometime this spring or summer. Sam Cathy's tapes are recommended for anyone particularly going into the pastorate. Ed Murphy has had broad experience with overseas crusades, both at home and overseas. He taught for a number of years at Biola and has both personal experience and teaching experience on this subject. His tape set would be recommended. Ernest Rockstad, his tapes come from back in the 1960s. They're still available and still useful. but they've kind of been superseded by some of these other tape sets. I did the church growth lectures at Fuller in 88, and those tapes are available. And then Tom White is one of the best teachers and practitioners on this subject, I think, in the country. He's produced some excellent materials. He came within an eyelash of coming here to do a doctorate, and I guess I didn't pray hard enough to get him to come here, but his material is very helpful. I'll be sharing quite a bit of his material with you as we go through the course of the class together. Okay, any questions about anything on the bibliography or the assignments? Well, I mean that they're going to probably not see much reality to demons. They're going to explain them other ways, or if they say they do exist, that their sign is so far away that you probably don't have to really think about dealing directly with supernatural beings called demons. They should either be available or be on order. Some of the newest ones may not have been processed yet, but they should be available in the library. Now, I have put nothing on reserve because there's a very broad spectrum of things to read, and I think it will be easier for you to be able to take them and read them. If it would prove valuable to have something on reserve, I can do that. I assume that you will purchase the texts and read those, or that there are enough copies around you can loan them back and forth. But I have opted not to, at least to try, not putting things on reserve, and hope that you can get around. Yes. All right. Yeah. If you have family, you really need to read on that subject, because the stuff that's going on today is really unbelievable.
You said there's several books in bibliography dealing with the Wendell movement, and that's called a probe for Wendell. Are you going to talk about that at all, or explain it all?
We will at some point later on. If what? Oh. That's probably the least challenge to families is Nintendo. Yeah, if you just lay them on a chair by the door as you go out, that'd be fine. I'll pick them up. Okay? Well, I guess we're at that time. Thank you.